We're holding Rambam's introduction to Perek Chelek, and if you recall, this is all an introduction to the Rambam's explanation on the Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins, Kol Yisrael Yashem Chelek Lo'olam Haba. All of Israel have a portion in the world to come. And so the Rambam spends much of the introduction explaining what is this world to come, and explaining by way of exclusion, what is Gan Eden, what is Tchias HaNeisim, so that we know which midrashim and which understandings to relegate to those terms, and what comes under the title of Olam Haba, and how are we to understand it. That's what we've seen thus far. So the Mishnah began by saying all of Israel have a portion in the world to come, as the verse states, Ramech Kulam Tzadikim, your nation are all righteous people, Dolam Yushuaret, they will inherit the land for eternity, which means the land in the world to come, so to speak. And then the Mishnah goes on, and the following people do not have a portion in the world to come. Who does not have a portion in the world to come? Haomer, if one says, En Tchiyat Amitim, the dead will not be returned. So the Rambam explains to us, what is Tchiyat Amitim? How will the dead come back to life? V'en Torah min ha-shamayim, or if a person says the Torah wasn't given from heaven, if the person says, yeah, a lot of wise people got together and wrote this set of laws, so that's considered one of the people who do not have a portion in the world to come. V'apikores, and a person who is an apikores. What is an apikores? So now we're holding in the Rambam's explanation, where the Rambam will explain what is an apikores. An apikores. Says the Rambam, page Kuf Mem, second column towards the bottom. Michael, Baruch Haba. Maybe take a drink. And there's cake there for everyone. Umilat apikores, and the word apikores, himila aramit, is an Aramaic word, inyana ha-hakala va-zizul ba-Torah. What it means is someone who makes the Torah light, mocks the Torah, or bechachmei ha-Torah, or mocks the wise men of the Torah. So what's an apikores? As the Rambam, someone who mocks either the Torah or the wise men of the Torah. Ulfichach menichim shem ze bistam al mi sheino ma'amin b'yisodot ha-Torah. And therefore, we usually use this term as a general term for someone who does not believe in the foundations of the Torah. O mevazeh et ha-chachamim, or a person who mocks the sages. O ezeh talmid chachamim sheyeh o rabo, or anyone that mocks the disciples of the sages or his own Rebbe. So this term has become a general term, apikores, that we apply to anyone who mocks the sages or the foundations of the Torah, and that is because the term stems from a meaning of mocking either the Torah or its sages. So we use it to include all people who don't accept the foundations of Judaism. Back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Afa kore b'sparim achitzanim, even someone who reads the external books, he too will not have a portion in the world to come. What are the external books? Sparim chitzanim, explains the Rambam. Amru, our sages explain, Sifrei minin, they are the books of those who reject the Torah. So if one starts reading about those who reject the Torah, so he's learning things which really contradict the Torah. And Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that if he does that, he too will not have a portion in the world to come. V'chen sifrei ben sirah, and so too the books of ben sirah, shaya ish chiber sparim ba'azayot minyanei al parsa. He was a person who compiled books with different understandings of al parsa. What is al parsa? So Rav Kapach over here explains that is ta'anat hakarat tchunotav shel adam al yedei simanim chitzoniim b'gufo. The claims that you could recognize a person's traits by external signs of his body, or through looking at his hair, like those that the Gemara mentions on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, and quotes the different names of the people who thought they could tell you what kind of person a person is just by looking at external. And the Rav Kapach points out that our version of Ben Sira, we have it in what's called the Apocrypha, however you pronounce it. So in our version, he says, you don't see any of this. So the Rambam seems to be referring to something else. A lot of the things that our sages said appear in Ben Sira are not in our version of Ben Sira. So it seems that our version of Ben Sira is lacking. It's not the full version. Shein behem chokhma velo toret. You have to ask yourself, how did Rav Kapach know this? Must be he opened up Ben Sira and went through it. But didn't we just learn in the Mishnah that one who studies this won't have a portion in the world to come? So we'll leave that hanging, but that's a question we have to ask ourselves.
I don't think it has to do with Kabbalah. I think that there
are things you could tell about a person just from looking at him. I could tell you that more than once I've read people, their wives, the first time I spoke to them. I saw a person, I said, I think maybe so-and-so is a good idea for you, and they married that so-and-so. So I'm not a mikubal, I don't know Kabbalah, and I'm not telling you I do it with any special forces. There are things that as you get to know people, you could tell about a person by observing the person, by talking to the person. I don't think you have to attribute it to Kabbalah, but it's not because you look at him and you say, oh, he has an afternoon shadow, so must be he's a ruffian. He's got a nose that points downward, must be he's stingy. It's not what we're talking about. The fact that there are people who could understand people, and to different levels we all understand people based upon different things, the person's countenance, the way a person speaks, person's tone of voice, the way a person looks at you, and a lot of these also depend on what society you come from. We're accustomed to the Western world where if you're sincere, you look a person in the eye. In the Far East, if you're disrespectful, you look a person in the eye. In the Far East, if you're a respectful person, you look down, especially if you're a girl and you're talking to someone older than you. Over here, people would think you have something to hide. Why isn't he looking me in the eye? So some of this has to do with culture. But at any rate, this is how Rav Kapach explains what the Rambam is saying over here. These are people who have fantasies. They think that just because they see a person, what kind of hair he has or what he looks like, they could off the bat tell you everything about him. She'en mem chokma, says the Rambam, there's really no wisdom in it. Ve'lo to'elet, no use. Elai Buddha zman bedvarim betelim. But these are the things that if one studies them, he's wasting his time doing pointless things. The only time I read, I told you guys that I have books that describe how you could tell a person's features when he's just from looking at him. So I used to read those books when I was taking haircuts. I couldn't wear yarmulke on my head. That's when I read those books. That's when I read Josephus, because you can't learn that time. So you might as well take a hand. You got to read something. Kinkonedos asfarim ha-mitzvot etzel ha-aravim. מספרי הדורות ומנהגי המלכים ויחוסי שבטי ערבים מספרי השירים. And he says another example of things that are pointless that people waste their time doing are the Arab books that tell you about the all kinds of Arab history and how their kings fought different wars and what lineage they have and their different songs of books. וחייצא בהם מן הספרים שאין חוכמה בהם, and books like this that really there's no wisdom in them, ולא תועלת גשמית, and you don't gain from it. It's not like learning architecture or engineering or math. You don't get anything in this world either. אלא עיבוד הזמן בלבד, all you're doing is wasting your time. So the Rambam seems to be saying that ספרים חיצוניים are books that are external to having value. Meaning it's not that there's something specifically wrong with them. The first example the Rambam gave for things that will mislead a person. Things, books that, if you study those books, you'll think you have an understanding in people, and maybe you don't. And those books will cause people to be misled. But then the Rambam went on to expand it. And the Rambam said that when the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Akiva, if one reads Sfarim Chitzonim, external books, he won't have a portion in the world to come, the Rambam expands it to mean any book that's pointless. Meaning if you read a book of Harry Chapin's songs, or you read a book of
Harry Potter,
right? According to the Rambam, that would all fall under these guidelines. Right? According to Rabbi Akiva, we haven't said if we pass him like Rabbi Akiva. We're not learning halacha here. We're trying to understand the Mishnah. But according to the Rambam, any book that's pointless would fall under this category. We have to remind ourselves that the Rambam did say in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, that at times one has to take a break. And the Rambam said, he'll say, I'll go for a walk, I'll go see nice things, and that will help him in everything he does. Would the Rambam say that reading a good novel constitutes taking a break? I don't know. From here it seems like not. I don't see why not. I don't know.
The Rambam himself, I mean, he was very learned in every field.
He's saying learning the sciences, learning something that will be beneficial to even your physical being in this world, so that's fine. But to take time to read things that are pointless, like a novel, that the Rambam puts under Sporim Chitzonim. And I'm saying that I don't know what the Rambam would say if we'd say, yeah, but I'm doing it to take a break. I don't know. I don't know what the Rambam would say.
There could be other reasons. I mean, like, you want to enhance or advance their English skills. They want to be up to date on the local culture. Everybody's read this book, and you talk about it. You want to be able to talk about it.
That, I think, you could say for the Arab songs and Arab history books as well. It doesn't seem like the Rambam is buying that argument.
Really?
It doesn't seem to me that way. Fine, but I'm sure they were all talking about the latest hit song that was written in Arabic, and the Rambam doesn't say that that's an excuse for reading the song. I'm sure when they had conversation, one of the things that was common knowledge was the stories that were quoted in these Arab books, which the Rambam is saying is pointless. So you could say, well, if I go to a stockbroker's meeting and then someone quotes something from Harry Potter and I won't know what's going on, so I'm going to look like odd man out. I'm not so sure. Say it's a good icebreaker. So you can find all kinds of excuses. I don't think those the Rambam would buy. I do think that one who would claim I read a novel to take a break, that I could hear more. I could hear it as a better claim, and I don't know what the Rambam would say about it. My inclination is to think that the Rambam doesn't buy it because the Rambam knows that people have to take a break. He said that already. And I'm sure that reading a history book in his time was also like taking a break, and he doesn't buy it. We have to remember that the Rambam is living in a community where the average Amoraim knows most of Shas Mishnayos, if not all of Shas Mishnayos, by heart. Now, when the Yemenites came to Israel, so you had Yemenites who had their pace cut off, and they didn't know much, they were detached from their family, and they'd sit down on Shabbat smoking, and sit as a family and start chanting Tanakh and chanting Mishnayos, because that was the stuff they did in their free time. So the secular people in Israel were able to take away much of their Judaism, but the songs and the chants that were in their blood from when they were little kids, that they couldn't take away. So even today, I at different times, I met Yemenite Jews who don't wear a kippah. And you could sit with them in a taxi or meet them at a barber shop and start talking to them, and they feel like they have to show you they know something. So they start rattling off chapters and prophets or Mishnayot, and they know their stuff. So it could be that the reason the Rambam didn't mention reading a novel was because the Rambam felt, hey, you need a break, go read the book of Daniel. We find that that's what people did in those times. You want to read a novel, so they'd read Daniel, they'd read Ezra, they'd read Job, Eov. Today we could barely make heads or tails of these books. But back then, it was like common knowledge. Everyone knew it. We see that our sages had to make a special institution. Shabbos afternoon, you're not allowed to read Job and Daniel. Why'd they make this institution? Because you're supposed to go hear the rabbi's lecture. That's when you hear halacha, otherwise you never know halacha. So the rabbis used to give a lecture Shabbos afternoon, teaching the people halacha. They didn't have kids or shulchan aruch back then. So the rabbis made an decision, you can't read these books. It seems like Shabbos afternoon, when the average person is sitting reading a novel nowadays, back in the Rambam's time and in the Mishnah's time, people were reviewing Tanakh. That was their fun. That was how they took a break. So it could be that's why the Rambam doesn't buy this, to say, I'm reading this novel for a break, because that's what I'm saying. Go read a Midrash for a break. Go read Tanakh for a break. When I was a teacher in elementary school, I used to make the kids write a book report on books in Tanakh. I said, you're going to write a book report for your English teacher, right? So take the English version of the book of Joshua and write me a book report. Well, why not? You only in English class can they ask of you to write a book report? I don't buy it. My class, you write a book report too. Choose whichever book in Tanakh you want. Write a book report on it. So read it in English. You don't have to read it in Hebrew, but at least you should know what it says. Ari.
Not I thought like one of the reasons why a lot of the time was because people didn't know, they didn't have the ability to learn Shas.
They didn't have the ability to learn Shas Gemara, but people did know Shas Mishnayos relatively well. That seems like, and they did know Tanakh. That Gemara, people were unable to learn, and even when they learned it, they didn't know what many of the words meant. Don't forget, Rambam lived shortly after Rashi. They overlapped a few years, and people didn't have a commentary on the Gemara. The Rambam himself writes that he's writing a commentary on the Gemara. We have excerpts of that commentary, but it never came to fruition. We never got a full commentary on the Gemara. The Rambam says part of the problem is that people who try to learn Gemara and think they understand Gemara have many words they don't understand, many concepts that they don't understand, and that leads them to think that they know what the halakhic conclusion is in the Gemara, and they're off. So the Rambam says, I came to fix that situation and I wrote my Mishneh Torah. But nonetheless, I think people did read Tanakh and did read Mishnayot. Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah, "V'alochesh al hamakah," and when one says an incantation over a wound and says the verse, "Kol hamachlah shosanti v'mitzrayim lo'asim alecha," God promises us in the Torah, we read it a few weeks ago or last week, "All the illness that I placed in Egypt, I will not place upon you if you keep the Torah." So they used to say this incantation. When a person would get wounded, he'd cut himself, he'd spit on the wound because the saliva helps it heal, and he'd say this verse or a different verse. So if you're spitting as you're saying a verse, it doesn't look so nice. Rabbi Akiva says that's a person who won't have a portion in the world to come if he tries to say this verse as an incantation over a wound. Explains there, Amnam v'davka b'kikah, specifically if he's spitting when he's saying the verse. Nefishiyesh b'kach zuzul Hashem, because it seems like he's desecrating God's name. He's spitting and saying God's name. That's not a nice way to talk. Abba Shaul omer, we have a Tana named Abba Shaul, he says, Afa uget Hashem b'otiyot. He also one who pronounces God's name the way it's written. Notice that when we have the name written Yud, and we have a Hey, and then a Hey, and then a Vav, and then a Vav, and then a Hey. So we don't, the tetragrammaton, we don't pronounce it the way it's written. So if one pronounces it that way, says Abba Shaul, he also does not have a portion in the world to come. Says the Rambam, Hu sheyege Yud, as we explained, Shehu Shem HaMforash, that's the name that's called the Shem HaMforash. V'chvar hizkiru dvarim zulat eile sheose otam en chelek. And our sages already taught us other things that the Mishnah does not enumerate, that one who does them will not have a portion in the world to come. Amru, our sages taught us, Amalbim pnei chavero barabim en chelek l'olam ba. Our sages taught us, if one shames his friend in public, he will not have a portion in the world to come. One who gives his friend a nickname and he starts calling him, "Hey Jack, my name isn't Jack, my name is Yaakov." Yeah, Jack, you give a guy a nickname he doesn't want, so that our sages taught us that a person doesn't have a portion in the world to come. And one who takes honor in his friend's shame. I showed up to prayer this morning at 7 o'clock, right and early. I noticed you came at 7:30, so he's, so to speak, taking honor through shaming his friend. So our sages taught us a person who does that will not have a portion in the world to come. The Rambam explains that it's not that these actions are so terrible that because of them a person will not have a portion in the world to come, but rather these actions reveal that within a person his soul has not attained the level that he will merit the world to come. Meaning if a person is capable of shaming someone else to gain honor, he's revealed about himself that he is on a level that he will not merit the world to come. It's not that this specific action wipes out everything he's ever done so that he won't have a person in the world to come, but rather this action reveals that that's the state his soul is in and he will not merit the world to come.
So they're more of a benchmark.
That's what it seems like the Rambam is saying. Meaning even though the Rambam agrees that they're sin and they're forbidden, one is paining his friend, one is hurting his friend, that's forbidden, and the Rambam agrees that that's a sin, but the Rambam seems to be explaining that it's not that the sin is so heavy that it wipes out everything he did, but rather like you said, it's a benchmark. It attests to the fact that he hasn't fixed himself enough to merit the world to come. Yeah.
How does that fit in with what the Rabbi Akiva or the Rambam is?
Oh, so everyone here is working off of that. The Mishnah began, all of Israel have a portion in the world to come. And then the Mishnah continued and said, and these are the people who will not have a portion of the world to come, people who do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's what we're working off of. Every Jew should have a portion of the world to come, but the following people will not.
So, in order to have a portion of the world to come, and since the actions reveal that a person hasn't attained a certain level, there's an element. Spirituality of actions. That means that in order to have a portion of the world to come, somebody needs to reach a certain level. It's not automatic. Everybody gets a portion of the world to come, and then they can lose it if they do the wrong thing.
So, I think that's like which came first, the chicken or the egg. I think though that it has a philosophical relevance, and I think that the Navi teaches us, Hashem asat Adam yashav. God created man straight. Vehima bikshu chishuvim rabim, and they tried to figure all kinds of things out and try to outsmart the system, and that's where man's downfall comes in. So, I think that when a person becomes bar mitzvah, he's not perfect, but once he enters the Jewish world, we say, okay, he has a portion in the world to come. Now he has a choice. Am I working up or am I working down? If he works up, so it's understandable that as a person learns, he gets better. No one's expecting him to be perfect day one. If he works down, so he can lose that portion. Either thing can happen. He starts off having a portion. He starts off, he has a portion in the world to come. When I was engaged, so I went with my wife, Rabbi Avram Shapiro. We asked him to set up to be the one to officiate at our wedding. So he met us and he said, I envy you two. He turned to me and he said, you know, she's a tzaddikah? Sure. He turned to my wife and he said, you know, he's a tzaddik? She said, okay. Yeah, fine. So he said, you know why? So we're both listening, like, what's he going to say? Yeah, I felt very good. And that's what he says about me, that's what he says about her. He says, because the day you get married, you lose all your sins. It's like Yom Kippur. God says, I forgive you. You get a fresh start. So you two are getting married. You're starting life as tzaddikim. Now you just have to keep it up. That's all. So we start fresh. When a person becomes a ger, when a person becomes bar mitzvah, he starts off as a tzaddik. He starts off with a portion. Now he has to keep it up. Now he has to move forward. And moving forward doesn't mean he's going to keep everything on day one. He's going to keep as much as he knows how to keep. And he'll learn more, and then he'll keep more. Yeah.
Right, you said that, like, if you, let's say you're davening and he comes in half an hour late and you see him and it makes you feel good, that's taking honor at his expense. I thought taking honor at his expense, like, if you make, like, a public thing of, like, if you put him down to raise yourself up.
Right, that's what I meant to say. I meant to say that if one would comment that way, that I came in on time and you came in a half hour late, I meant if one says that in front of other people or one. Okay. Now, the Rambam is going to begin to explain to us what are the 13 principles. The Rambam said, one who does not accept the 13 principles, he is an apikores. One who does not accept the principles of Jewish faith. So what are those principles? And that's where we will pick up next week. We'll learn, God willing, the 13 principles as the Rambam enumerates and explains them.